Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So in this book, we're supposed to be going to a war. There will be swearing.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 11 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's go on a quest.
They are headed to the fort. They talk about the mountains, who are also the Sun Queen's husbands.
Reverse harem for the win.
Dedicate Docky is at the fort, and he needs to talk to Rose Thorn. And Briar's like, no, you can't have my mother. And he's like, it'll be fine, young man, and just steers her into another room. And, like, puts up a barrier so, like, nobody else can come in. And he's like, I'm sending you on a quest. I tried to do this quest, and I couldn't go, so it's on you now. And he gives her a chest of drawers, and he opens each one at a time, and has her hold all of the items. They are the cup of water, the blaze of fire, the seeds of the earth, and the feather of air. So they are the ancient treasures of the Living Circle religion. And she has to take them to the Sealed Eye Temple, the Temple of the Sealed Eye. I believe he tells her part of the reason he thinks that she can do it is because she has a reason to get back. It's like, it takes somebody with strong determination to make it there, and you have to have a really good reason to get back out. Otherwise, you'll just end up as a priestess at the Temple of the Sealed Eye for the rest of your life.
Frankly, terrifying.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Frankly, terrifying.
To Goodwin, I raise my eyebrows.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Evie and Briar are not very happy that Docky, they have no idea what's going on, but they are not happy that their mommy is, like, consorting with other people and not telling them what's going on. Harahan shows up with his sister. Rose Thorn tells the kids that she's gonna go on, like, a mission or something. She doesn't, like, give them details, but she's like, I have this thing that I have to go do. And Briar's not very happy about it, and he's being snotty at everybody. But then they just kind of, they're making, like, decisions about who's gonna go where and do what and everything. And so they determine that Evie is going to stay because she and the cats are sleepy. He is going to travel with Rose Thorn as far as he can until she turns and goes and does her thing, and then he's gonna stick with Parahan and Suda. And thus our heroes separate. Step one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. And the first thing I want to know is, how did y'all feel about Suda?
She's here. How old are her and Parahan?
53. I have no idea.
I don't think Parahan is that old.
I hope not, because Briar seems like he's crushing on her a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does state that, like, they're... that she's in, like, her late 20s? Or someone he's flirting with is in their 20s.
I hope so, because he's only 14. No, he's 16 in this book?
He's 16.
How is he 16? So, 20s, I guess, isn't bad, but hey, still no.
I teach at a high school, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, teenagers crush on adults.
Oh, yeah. But she's kind of flirting a little bit back, though, too. So, that's a little, I don't know.
Goodwin, do you want to share with Brittany any continued theories about Dedicate Docky?
Yeah, so I kind of didn't see it last time when you were saying that, like, Docky might have ulterior motives or knew she was coming back or something. Now, I kind of get it.
Right?
Yeah, he's being very, very pushy. I get that there's a reason why. Clearly, he doesn't want the Emperor to get the treasures of their religion and potentially, like, corrupt it. But also, it was a very, like, the pressure that he exerted on Rosethorn seemed...
it like almost felt cult-like, much. Because he's yeah. like, I am the first dedicate of the first circle, and you have to obey me because I am the leader of everything in this cult. Like,
your allegiance to your vows are an allegiance to me because he's
yeah, and like, it's like, whoa,
religious pressure, whoa, that's a lot. I get it's bad if the Emperor gets that, but forcing someone who had died and is currently not at 100%, and yeah. making them want a quest by themselves that they can't have help with to secure things seems excessive.
You say cult-like, and when I hear cult, I usually think like sort of minor religious group, but quite frankly, this is going to get me in so much trouble. I feel like you could compare it to any religious hierarchy. If yeah. the Pope shows up and he's like, yo, random priest guy, you need to go on this quest. What are you going to do?
The only difference between a cult and a religion is its popularity. Obviously, some are worse than others, but yeah, the pressure that you can exert on a believer is incredible. I get it seems like it's for a good reason, but I don't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, like, so I'm going kind of back and forth. Like, I feel like in Melting Stones, when Evie decided to pledge, she wouldn't have pledged if Doki was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosethorn would be encouraging her, like, yeah, that seems like a good idea. But at the same time, people can be corrupt in religion. So he might be bad, but the religion itself isn't. So I don't know. Yeah. I feel like Parahan is a bit of a dummy.
I think he would agree with you.
He is not known for his brains. He's known for his brawn, I'm sure, because he's a war person. They get to camp, and he's like, my uncle and my father are not here, but these flags are here. Why? I don't understand. My guy. Duh. Who else could it be?
See, I got the impression that he was like, wait, what? Could it be? And that's why he, like, ran off.
Oh no, I took it as like it wouldn't be my uncle or my dad. So what the fuck are these flags doing here? I don't know. The description of the sun goddess and her husbands, the mountains. I thought that was really cool. It was cool world building. The west one is goddess Gazig Rigyapo, the snow leopard king, and the one in the middle is Kengri Skadpo, the talking snow mountain. But apparently, Briar's like, what does that mean? The talking snow mountain. And I think the worshippers feel he is most conversational of the husbands. So is that one an active volcano? Is that why he's talking? How else would he be talking if he's a mountain? Or is it Luvo?
That is exactly what I wrote down. I'm like, it's a talking mountain, maybe shakes a lot, but like, if it's talking, the only other talking mineral thing I know is Luvo.
So Luvo is married
Ooh.
to the Sun Queen, apparently.
Apparently so.
Spicy.
His life just got way more interesting. I want his backstory.
I wonder how his wife feels about him running off with Evie.
it's just a fling. It's just a grain of sand in the grand scheme of things. Her life is very short compared to mountains, so it's whatever.
Although Luvo doesn't
She's
seem to
gonna
understand that in
run
Melting
out and
Stones, she has all
that
this like.
she has three husbands. One can run off for a little bit. It's fine.
That's true.
It's whatever. She's got two more to entertain her.
Yeah.
Like, you go do whatever. I know you'll come back later.
But
Like,
I
go
do
do.
love that we have the Snow King and the Snow Leopard King and the Talking Mountain.
And the one
Yeah.
that talks.
And the one that talks, he
Like.
never shuts up.
So maybe the Sun Queen's happy if he leaves. It's
Like,
just
yeah,
like
it's like he talks too much. Go on an adventure. You talk too much. I need some silence for a little while, please, for the love of God.
honey, why don't you just go with that little girl? Maybe you can teach her some things. I'll be here when you get back. Bye. But yeah, like
Maybe.
immediately when I read this, I was like, that is the eccentric mountain.
Bro just be yapping too much. His wife said, get out.
Yep. So Luvo's like, okay, I'll be back, sweetie. I'll see you later. I gotta go adventure with Evu
Evu
Meimei. Evu
Meimei.
Meimei. I thought it was cute when Evie decided to go hug Doki. She just flung herself at him. It's like, oh, so cute. Too bad he's gonna be evil, so that kind of sucks. So I like her enthusiasm. It's very cute, but it's bad. It's gonna be bad.
Well, Neon Jory got on with Mora Chain, so you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was a good teacher to Evie, so I mean, people contain multitudes. People can be good and bad. We're not just one or the other, so
That is an
I
indie
guess.
quote if I've ever heard one.
People contain multitudes. Wow, I've never heard you say that before, ever.
And then when she hugs him, Doki's like, Evu Meimei, where is your dignity? And she said, I don't have any. And then I like that Doki was asking Evie about her cats, and he's like, I should very much like to hear Monster purr again. Like,
Oh my
oh,
God.
so cute. Too bad you're a monster. You're a monster yourself,
He's
Doki.
fine, probably.
My next one is when Doki and Rose Thorn are talking. And Doki tells Rose Thorn, you have been unstinting with your own love, that he is so unstinting with his love for you.
I love that part. Such a
Absolutely.
good
Oh
quote.
my, it is.
Especially because both Briar and Rosethorn have a lot of difficulty showing love. So, like, it says so much about their characters.
Yeah. Especially Rose Thorn, since they got there, she's like, I'm just gonna let Lark take care of all of this. I'll be there whenever to help her when she needs it, but this is all Lark. And now that's her
Well, Plant Boy.
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorite scenes in the whole series is the scene where he gets caught in the in her garden, like literally caught, tangled, and then she comes out and sees it. Just like reading it now, I just have all of the feelings because I can imagine it from her point of view as well.
Yeah. My next one is a dislike only because it makes me sad. Both of them had learned the hard way when they were children that many people would take any affection they offered and use it to get everything they had. Like, it's so sad. It's relatable, but sad. I don't like it. It makes me sad. My next one is like, I liked all the different objects or for like each element. So the water is a cup and the fire is a blaze. I don't think they tried very hard for fire, but you know, fire is fire.
Fire hot.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if it was like a coal or something, you know.
But no, it was like, it's a blaze of fire. That's fire. Like, water gets a cup, and earth gets seed, and air gets a feather, and then fire, it gets fire. Like,
okay, but have you ever met any, we're gonna go real, I'm gonna get so much shit. Have you ever met a fire sign that's not, it's fire?
Fair. Absolutely fair.
Pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, listen.
Absolutely
they fair. They have no depth, is what I'm trying to say.
You speak of this from experience as an
yes.
Aries. As an Aries.
You know. We have no depth. We are pretty much a
fire. My next one is a dislike. When Evie's like, Doki's our friend, he wouldn't hurt her. We've had a quote like that before, and it ended up being the opposite. So I feel Evie saying this, Doki's not our friend. She is going to hurt her. I don't like this. I'm scared. I don't like it. My next one is when Evie introduces the cats to Parahan's sister. I'm like, oh, everybody gets to love on the kitty cats. Everybody. And then whenever, how do you say her name? Sudamini?
I always say Sudamini.
Sudamini. Well, when Sudamini learns that Evie and Briar are the ones that freed Parahan from his shackles, she insists on pressing her forehead to their hands, which flustered both Evie and Briar, though for different reasons.
I love that line.
What reason do you have, Briar? What is your reason?
Hot lady touch head.
Now we're gonna get some tinfoil hat thinking. I'm gonna take a book out of or a page out of Goodwin's book. So I think this might be a more traditional sign of subservism. So like someone has done something, so you're in there. That,
yeah, that makes sense.
But
for her like, side, but for Briar, no, teenage no, no, boy, hot lady touch me.
No. That was the other reason.
My next one is when Briar and Rosethorn are kind of fighting, and Briar's like, I'm not a child. And Doki laughs and is like, okay, well, I guess you're a bad student then. And he's like, I'm not a student either. I'm accredited. I'm a mage. So I don't have to listen to her. If she tells me I can't go, too fucking bad. I'm going anyway. Because I'm not a kid and I'm not a student. So take that, Doki.
And I thought Daja was the petulant one.
Yeah.
If it's about his mama,
fair.
No, nobody better get in his way because that's his mama. No.
Yeah, the thing is, Rosethorn usually
can't be near his mama. He's gonna be near his mama.
Yeah. Rosethorn usually keeps him under control to keep him from doing that.
Yes.
But I was gonna say, he says, I have a cartwheel of metal around my neck.
And then I like that they continue to argue, and Briar's like, and I'll go with you. Since Evie will be snug as a flea in an armpit here. And Rosalind's like, Briar, where are your manners? And he's like, in the same dunghole you left your bleeding brains when you said you were going off without me.
Popping off.
I love that he is so fucking sassy.
Remember, so angry.
This happened about 5 years ago. So he's like reliving that moment. Briar's biggest fears, Rosethorn leaving him, Rosethorn dying.
Both of those might happen right now. Yeah. No. He's got to stay with his mama.
Yeah, you can't blame him for feeling that for sure.
Yeah, no.
I was gonna say, you know that one meme with the person in the shirt that's like no fear. It's just Rose Thorn dying. It's Briar. One fear. That's Briar. That is Briar. I am a strong, independent boy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not a ma I'm not a student. I'm not a child. Mom. Yeah. I think that's what makes that scene like so entertaining, I guess, is because like he's sitting there throwing a temper tantrum about not being a child. It's like, you look pretty damn childish.
Bro.
My next one is when Parahan decides he wants to take Briar with him, and he tells his sister, "You must see what my friend here can do with a handful of seeds." And she's like, "Truly? And there's plenty of the Emperor's soldiers that won't be buried with their ancestry because of what Briar can do." And she smiles wickedly at Briar. Impressive. And Briar admits to himself that he's a fool for a dimple. And then this is my last one. The moment the door closed behind them, Roselorn began a scold that blistered Briar's ears. "I'm not a child, but I'm going to get lectured by my mama." "Like, you embarrassed me in front of our friend. You are a bad kid."
To be fair, this age is one of the hardest ages to be. Because you are kind of expected to be an adult, but also at the same time, not. People get mad at you for not acting adult enough, but also,
Acting too
like, they don't let
childish.
you do adult things.
It's like, oh, you're being too childish, but we're also not going to treat you like an adult. So, and it's probably even worse when you're an accredited mage.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Her heart cried out for Lark, but her answer had to be the one she had given Doki and the reason she had taken her two children and brought them back to Jiangxi.
Tells her, like, you have to have a reason. And like my immediate thought, and the reason that he would know of, is Evian Pryor. But then Lark is also her reason for coming home.
Yeah, there are so many pullbacks to Lark in this. Like, we keep seeing her pulling back to Lark.
They're just really good friends, guys. They're just really good friends.
Really good
Yeah,
friends.
that's definitely what
They're
it said in The Will of the
roommates.
Empress. They're really good friends. Dasha says, "Briar, do you really think we'd be upset about you getting a roommate after Lark and Rosethorn?"
Young Indy feels so vindicated every single time. I tried to take care of this matter myself, but no matter how hard I tried, I could not place my feet on the road to my destination. I have not been so thwarted in my designs since I was a dedicate of only 10 years. Bro, if your first dedicate can't do something.
I don't understand why.
Again, the Pope comes to you. "I have this magical, mystical mission for you that I could not do."
The line of each guardian must handle them. Feel like that's a tethers. That way, the only person who can handle them and touch them after that is the person who it recognizes as the guardian. I just think that's neat.
Doesn't he also say something about the box only opening for?
If anybody else opens it, it looks like something else.
It said just a bag of clothes or something.
Under its silk covering lay a feather that was many colors and none.
This is
Love
really
that.
cool.
I
So
love that
cool. So
description.
cool.
I have to say, I was also tempted last week to pick part of that as an excerpt.
Really cool
So, because it's just such a beautiful, like,
imagery.
description. Yeah. It reminds me of the scene in Daja's book when Sandri is weaving her friends together. Pierce can write some spot on poetry when she wants to.
She sure can. Absolutely.
She turned her head. There, that was Nico's voice. He was talking about Triss and Lightsbridge University.
She has Triss's powers all of a sudden.
Yeah. This book is happening whenever everybody else is at their spots too, right? When Triss is in, when they're doing their mystery adventures.
This would be after that has ended.
Okay.
Because the Circle Opens books are all kind of happening simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
But this is 2 years after Street Magic. So.
So Triss is still hanging out with Nico. What the hell happened to Nico? Did he die? Did we ever figure out what the hell happened to that man?
It says he was talking about Triss. It does not say he was talking to her. Yeah.
We never got clarification about where he went. It's just like, he fucked off and we don't care anymore. Like,
I mean, that is kind of his thing. He does just kind of fuck off.
That is his MO.
It is, but they could have at least said, oh, hey, he went here. He fucked off to this place. Not just like, well, we were traveling together, but he's gone.
Well, I was going to say, like, that was Nico's MO before... ever started.
It was his MO to such a degree that in one of the books people are like, damn, Nico, you've been here for 4 years.
That's true. But you still, okay? You think they would say, hey, he did fuck off finally, but he fucked off to this place, instead of just like, we don't fucking care anymore. We don't care. We don't know. He just does whatever. Like,
they might not know.
I wanted to know where he went. You know, where'd he go? Did he die? I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. He's just gone. Anyway, sorry, continue.
We have finally gotten to the line that has stuck with me the entire time of me reading this book. I am a plant mage. I need sunshine. I thrive on it. Then how did you die and return?
Briars for sunshine. That's how.
When I say that I stopped... And I cried for like 15 minutes before I continued just because of that line. Like, I am not exaggerating. I don't know why. That is the hardest hitting line for me in this entire book. But Jesus Christ. Half of you walks in the sun and half of you walks in shadow. You need the shadow in the Temple of the Sealed Eye.
I have an addition to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Docky fucks off at some point, right? Mm-hmm. He says he's like leaving at midnight and they're like, and like alone, and they're like, oh, are you going to be okay or whatever. He says, he's like, I'm an earth temple dedicate, midnight and darkness are my elements or something like that. Mm-hmm. In other books, unless it's this one, but somewhere in this series, they talk about earth dedicate services, earth temple services being held at midnight.
Right.
Yet Rose Thorn is a plant mage and needs sun. So like the fact that like she's a plant mage and she needs sun, but she is also an earth temple dedicate. Darkness and midnight are the earth temple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it makes it even more fitting that she was born at midwinter.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. That her birthday's the darkest day of the year.
This part. You know, I made the joke of I want to be Rose Thorn when I grow up. It just hits different when you get a little older and you're like, ah, I literally am this woman, though.
You walk half in light and half in shadow.
I like dead things and plants. It's what I do.
They go well together, though.
They do. It's very much in... a Natalie aesthetic. Dead things and plants. Red bean buns. Rose Thorn hates red bean buns. I don't know why this cracks me up.
Just I was going to say, how do you feel about red bean buns, Natalie?
I fucking love red bean buns. She picked up a bun and bit it. Red bean. She hated red bean. She ate it anyway. That's such a mood, though. It's like, fuck it. It's food.
It's like me when I went camping when I was, I think, like 14 or 15, and like being the closest thing to an adult that wasn't an adult who could drink, I had to watch all the children. And then like I finally got to take a break. I go over to this tray of cookies and pick up this delicious looking chocolate chip cookie. And I'm
oatmeal
like,
raisin?
Oh, oatmeal raisin.
I'm fucking oatmeal raisin in my fucking mouth. And I'm like, it's already in there. It's in my hand. I'm just gonna finish the fucking
cookie. Just eat the damn cookie. Ugh. Yeah.
I hated it. I hated it anyways.
Briar would not understand. Evie would understand all too well. Evie expected everyone to leave her sooner or later. All you can do is deliver this thing and hurry back to her, Rosalind told herself. Get a grip on yourself, Neva. I love that she, like, her inner monologue refers to her,
her old name.
Her name before she became a Dedicate. Mm-hmm. I can go on for a long time about this, but the shortened, condensed version is that I like it's marked as a dislike because, like, I've been there. Like, I also don't like the fact that Briar is like, nope, not happening. And then Evie's just like, yeah, you're gonna leave eventually. But it's you're talking to your younger self about a fear. That's what this translates to me, as she's talking to her younger self. Who this fear of not coming back or being alone has come from. I have some like thoughts about like the Dedicate system, but it's likely she's not been alone her entire time. She was an initiate through now. So that kind of fear of being alone, I have feelings. I have big feelings. There's a lot
She's
of
having
them.
All the same fears that Briar is. He just doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Well, they are the same person.
They kind of are, yes. His earth magic answered hers. I love that line. Promising herself that she would never let Doki talk her into anything more than a fishing trip again. She tumbled into it. I love that. I don't think any trade will be going down the snow serpent for a while, if that's what's wrinkling your face. Briar is just being extra sassy in this chapter.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Hardcore sassy.
Somebody's trying to take his mama away from him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doki talking to Briar and saying, if you love her, you will help her, not hinder her. Do not make her duty more painful.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking sucks.
We're going to have a splendid time deciding what language to speak.
I love Suda so much already.
They talk like, what, four different ones? They have to translate for each other. Half of the fruit was better than none. In discussion of like following Rose Thorn, he would be able to sense where she came down from. He would be able to sense when she came down from the mountains. The very grasses would tell him, just tell me of my mother's return.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really like the good fortune and God's blessings to you, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
This whole chapter, especially when like Doki and Rose Thorn are alone, he's like, girl, child, bruh, she's in like her 40s. Because I don't think we ever actually get Doki's age.
He gives the implication that he's even older than he seems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have stuff to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have opinions and commentary, but I don't think it's time for that.
I have one. I don't know if it's too early also for me to say it, even though I haven't read the rest of the book.
Do it. Say it.
Speculation.
I think Doki might be a lich and those four items are his phylacteries. He's just a fucking...
That's not quite what I was expecting.
Ghost necromancer, and those are the things keeping him alive.
My mom loves the director Frank Capra. has all of his films. And so I grew up watching a lot of these movies. And one Frank Capra movie I distinctly remember is Lost Horizon, which is a film adaptation of a novel by the same name. I don't remember exactly how it goes down, but it's these like explorers in these snowy mountains, and they come across this like paradise, which is Shangri-La. Like that's where the term Shangri-La comes from, as far as I know. Whatever, blah-de-blah, stuff happens. They eventually decide to leave, and one of them has like fallen in love with this woman there. And she's like, take me with you. I want to go with you. And the sort of like the person who's kind of the head of Shangri-La like warns him. He's like, you can't take her with you because she looks like this beautiful young woman, but she's actually like 100-some because this is what this paradise does to you. It helps you to live just forever, kind of. You live way, way longer than normal. But if she leaves, then she will age as normal and she will like rapidly age to her actual age.
Yeah.
And
so she'll die.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, no, no, he's lying to you. Like, do I look like this old woman? Like, they take her with them when they leave. And there is a scene that just scared the pace out of me when I was a little kid and saw this movie for the first time, where they're traveling, like they're like climbing through these snowy mountains. So it's also like similar setting. They turn around and she's just turned into a desiccated corpse.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it has like the right musical like drama to it. And it's, for me, I don't know how other, like for me at the age that I saw it, it was like a jump scare for me. And I was like, holy shit. And so when I read about Doki's like, I'm considerably older than I look, I just thought of that. I'm like, oh, he's like the lady from Lost Horizon.
Or the lady in Tangled, Mother Gothel.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we could also compare him to Bilbo Baggins in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And see, that's that is how I kind of picture it, mm-hmm. is the like items and things, the places where he keeps himself, especially because of the fact that he is the first etiquette.
Yeah. So like, I
his title.
Wonder how rapidly he is going to age now that he has passed them on to Rosethorn.
Hmm. And if she has them, does she pass them on to somebody else? Is she aging slowly in melting stones? I guess we'll find out.
Doki talks about Ryer being a faithful son. It was very sweet. He is, you know, but it's interesting to hear it coming from him. I want to know about the significance of the treasures of the religion. Like, because Doki describes it as without these treasures, the living circle falls apart. And like, he even goes into detail that like, if someone evil takes those, like it'll, what's the term? Corrupt it. Is he being metaphorical or like actual about that? Will the temples crumble or like melt? What like, I'm curious as to what he means. And another thing about just kind of not really understanding if he means like physical, like actual literal changes, but Rosethorn, after touching the blaze of fire, sees Doki as a towering tree, a soaring fire, a jet of water, all whipped by a gust of air.
The Avatar.
That is exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's also
the
like,
four elements.
Is she seeing the magic in him do that, or is he like I said, is it a metaphor? I don't know. Oh, it sounds interesting. So if I was looking at an old dude and he suddenly turned into a tree on fire with wind whipping around it, I'd be a little confused.
A tree, yeah. In the rain on fire with wind whipping around him, right?
Yeah, with a jet of water. Yeah.
Jet of water.
I don't know. I'd be confused.
Like, how's he doing that?
Yeah. And if it isn't just, you know, her magic scene, via magic, him being these things, is he more than human? Like, is he some sort of god or something else? Like,
well, he does hang out with the God King, so
this is the land where
all the religions
people
are
close to heaven or whatever.
This is the closest to the gods.
And yeah, also, it was just weird how Doki made Rose Thorn touch the things and was like, you know, I knew you wouldn't go crazy. I'm glad I thought you wouldn't go
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to tell you before you touch it. Like, you have to touch them.
You have to touch it.
You're going to go crazy. Good.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't. I knew you wouldn't. And then it's like, hey, like lifted her chin up and went like, hey, look at me. Hey, hey, pay attention. I know you're hearing people from across the world that are your friends and you're hearing them in your ear. But hey, look at me. Pay attention. It's weird. Right, I don't like it. It's such a weird, uncomfortable situation.
He asked permission. He didn't get consent first. He's just like, you're doing this.
And that's, it's not even opening the can of worms of like, it's weird. I don't like it.
I don't either.
Pakoras, Suda, and Parahan are from India because they're eating pakoras, which is a very traditional Indian food.
That's the dumplings, right?
Yes. And it's just like fried vegetable, like croquette, dumplings. If you know what that is. Yeah, it's a little fried, yummy thing you eat. They're good.
That sounds delicious.
We already talked about Fool for a Dimple. Who isn't? Dimples are great. We love them. And I like the discussion where Evie talks to Doki, talking about, like, you know, why there's not good farming in Yongxi. Like, why is he pushing up here to take it over? And
I thought it was really funny you talking about it. She's like, this place is shit. Why did they want it?
Yeah, this place kind of blows.
Your hometown is awful. Nobody would want this dongle.
It's ugly.
Like,
can't
no
farm
offense.
Here.
I know that you live here and you like it, but it's kind of shitty. Why would they want it?
The dude's rich. You don't need, like, it was very goofy, but he's like Joki explaining that the emperor is not the heart of the world. But when he hears that Yongxi is the spindle on which the world turns, he doesn't understand what that means. And he thinks that if he takes it, he will be the spindle. He will be the center of everything. Yeah. Just kind of on the topic of that, you can't, you know, really negotiate with madmen because they're mad.
They're insane, and you can't do anything about that.
We've talked about how Yongxi is this place where, like, there are lots of different faiths and everything. And I was like, I want to go because I think comparative religions is really cool. And I like to meet people from different cultures and stuff, except I would like to go while it's not at war. But yeah, it sounds like, you know, when they're not trying to defend themselves from Emperor Weishu, like, it's probably a really cool place.
Yeah.
Once again, General Seirugo is a woman. Yay. On page 188, Briar and Evie are referred to as Rosethorn's two children.
Yay.
Page 189, he is a faithful son. The way that Doki describes the treasures, because she's like, okay, why do they have to go to the Temple of the Sealed Eye? Why can't we, like, take them to some other place? And he talks about how, like, people would feel them and, like, be drawn to them. And it reminded me of the way that plants are drawn to Briar and Rosethorn.
It is the definition of ambient magic. Because most of the people within the circle, religion as a whole, deal with ambient magic versus academic magic. And when I read it, I took it as, like, this is the source of ambient magic. So the being able to draw someone in through their magic is just that same residual pull.
Somebody already mentioned Snug as a flea in an armpit, but I just love that phrase.
It's funny.
It wasn't until I was reading this and I got to page 200 and somebody uses the word filch, meaning stealing. While his companion waited to see the general, Parahan came to Briar and Evie to filch a couple of their leftover dumplings. And it was not until I read this time that I was like, huh, that's the name of the caretaker in the Harry Potter books. So he's basically named Steel.
No.
What a great name. Also, I just want to throw this out because I just saw it. Parahan came in, his arm around a much shorter person in a yak skin coat and boots. They were chattering in the language Parahan often used for swearing.
That is such a good way to describe his language of, or like his original language. Because yeah. I feel like that is a common yeah. thing. You just revert to the original.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I feel like typically people, when they curse in their native language.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
I'm going to say something shocking. I actually found one this week. Loyalty. Rose Thorn is loyal to her faith. Briar and Evie are loyal to Rose Thorn. Rose Thorn is loyal to Briar and Evie and Lark.
That one was mine too.
The one that I found was bonds. We see the bonds between Parahan and Suda, Doki, and the treasures of the reading circle of not the
of us.
I
yeah.
have the treasures of the reading circle back behind me.
Oh, you do. You do. Without yeah. those, we're nothing.
Yeah. yeah.
The Living Circle Temple
there you
and the
go.
Connection to the treasures, I think, was neat. Also, the bond between Rose Thorn and her living and death and coming back and the light and the darkness. It's neat.
I'm going to read a section from page 196, and it might hit Natalie hard.
Let's go. Fuck me up.
Only a very strong mage can survive the treasures and the sealed eye temple. But you, half of you walks in the sun and half of you walks in shadow. You will need the shadow in the temple of the sealed eye. What? Rose Thorn yelped. That's not true. I'm a plant mage. I need sunshine. I thrive on it. Then how did you die and return? She opened her mouth, inhaled, and thought the better of whatever she had meant to say. Instead, she exhaled and rubbed her temples. It's a long and difficult story. Then I will live through the fighting because I want to hear it. So mine is something worth living for.
A girl worth fighting for.
Well, Lark is Rose Thorne's girl worth fighting
for. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry. Again, Andy is just making so many like references today.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter? I'm going to let y'all go first because I have at least two.
Oh,
wow,
hey.
At least.
You two get to figure out who goes first because I have three.
Wow.
That I can run with.
I know what one is for both of you, so I'll take it. Brittany, right. Do you have one?
Mine is, hold on, let me find it. Half of the fruit was better than none. Take what you can get, because sometimes you can't get everything that you want. So sometimes you have to be okay with just getting part of what you want. So it sucks, but we have to deal. So
you can't always get what you want.
In addition to that, like, you have to be grateful for the part that you do get. It's not exactly. Just that you have to accept it. You have to be grateful that you get any of it at all.
Yep.
I am a firm believer you deserve better. You deserve all the pie instead of half of it. But if all you have is half a pie,
it's better than none of the pie.
Be grateful you have that half of a pie.
The one that I found is... You have been unstinting with your own love that he is so unstinting with his love for you. What I found is that you should always try to give more love into the world. Tell your homies you love them. Give them a kiss on the forehead. Good night. And then tell people you love them, you know, if it's true. Because a lot of people don't do it. And it, you know, it feels nice to hear it. And it feels nice to say it. And you don't lose anything by saying it. The more love that you give, the more love you get back. It feels great, and it's nice. I love all my friends. I love you guys. I love our listeners. You guys are great. Give more out, because the more you give out, the more you get back.
I want to be more unstinting with my love.
Yeah, me too, but it's difficult.
It's hard sometimes.
It can be very hard sometimes. Okay, y'all, I literally wrote down four, and one of them, I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into my theme. So you've heard that one. But yeah, it's good to have something worth living for. And then Goodwin said one of them. So page 202, never try to guess what the God King does and doesn't know. And we kind of talked about this before. But yeah, don't make assumptions about people what people know and don't know.
You know what assuming stuff does?
Makes an ass of you and me.
Yeah.
That's right.
No other dedicate had both the strength to go and the need to return. You have to be strong enough to do the thing. You might not want to do the thing, but you need to do the thing. The thing is important. You also have to remember why you need to do the thing. Listen, I know that sounds real deep, but your bitch has been needing to make a doctor's appointment for like 3 weeks. It is important to do the thing. The thing being, I have to make a phone call and talk to people and yuck, and then go to the doctor. Yuck. But you also have to know that what you're doing is important. I need to go get my checkup for my parts. Gross. Because I don't want to die of something that has a high high.
Go to the gyno. Get your coochie checked out.
Yeah, like do that. I was like. But, like, I have, my family has super high ovarian cancer rates.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to die because my ovaries hate me. They already hate me. Like, bro, I just want to remove them. If I could remove them with a spoon, I would have already done so. It is important to do the thing because it is important and it's needs to be done. But also, remember why you're doing the thing. Which is a very deep way of saying, I gotta call a gynecologist.
That's Suda. Sudamini. She's the fierce one and I'm the layabout. There was gossip that the emperor might invade Jiangxi this year or the next, so she came from Kombanpur to offer her services and 200 warriors to the God King. She heard what happened to me, so now I have my own clothes and weapons because she prepares for everything, and we are going to fight Wei Shu if the God King will have me. So, apologies to Ali Wills, because we sent you Mulan and Hercules, and what we really should have sent you was Alice in Wonderland and the Lion King, because my magic is be prepared.
Or the king has returned, but he's a prince, but you know.
This one's actually serious. Like there is actual seriousness to this. I mean, not to say that the other one wasn't, but there was funny behind it. If you love her, you will help her, not hinder her. Do not make her duty more painful. Mm-hmm. Be there for people. I have a friend who's going into a venture that I think is very fucking stupid. I don't think it's going to turn out. I think that it is going to be detrimental to him emotionally and in his relationships. But this is a decision he has made. I love him and I support him, even though I do not agree with the decision. And we need to remember that you can disagree with someone, disagree with like their life choices or, you know, their decision to change careers at 37. Love isn't about being on the same page about everything. It is about compromise. It is about support. It is about grounding each other. It is related to the being unstinting with your love, but also you have to put aside your thoughts on a matter because that person has thought something through, has made the decision that is best for them. Be supportive of your homies, yo.
Kiss them on the head. Kiss them goodnight.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if you agree with them or not. Don't hinder them. Help, do not hinder.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 12 of Battle Magic. By midday, General Seirugo and 200 of her troops were gone, on their way northeast to warn the villages and get the people to safety in the temple fortresses. Briar, Rosethorn, and Evie spent the afternoon with Parahan and Sudamini, playing with the cats, watching their troops exercise, reading maps of the Jiangxi Basin, and refusing to speak of anything gloomy. Supper was a grand feast in the style of the Realms of the Sun. Captain Rana and his squad were invited as thanks for bringing Parahan to Jiangxi and his sister. There was juggling, sword and fire dancing, and music from the realms and Jiangxi. In the end, Parahan carried Evie back to her room in the fort. She had fallen asleep by the fire. The cats, used to these things, followed them. Evie woke as Parahan set her down to open her door. Since she was leaving at dawn, Rosethorn had moved her things down to the camp. Evie now had the room to herself. Parahan held her up with one hand as he walked her inside. "Are you coming to say goodbye to us in the morning?" he asked as she fumbled to feed the meowing cats. Evie shook her head. "I don't like goodbyes. They're bad luck. I feel small enough about not going to fight." She sat cross-legged on her bed. "You helped fight all the way here," Parahan told her. "And Rana may need you to help defend this place. Just take care of yourself and the cats, so I have my friends to come back to. Will you promise me?" "All right, I promise." Evie grabbed Parahan's sleeve. "And you look after Briar and Rosethorn? As much as they'll let you." She felt a bad quivering in her lip and in her eyelids. Evie turned over and buried her face in the pillows. She only looked up and wiped her wet eyes on her sleeve when she heard the door close. That afternoon, she had placed her small statue of Yanjing's god of luck, Hebei, on the room's shrine. Now she used one of the coals in the hearth to light a stick of incense. Applying that, she lit two more sticks in the jar that already stood on the shrine, then left hers with them. Putting her palms together, she bowed and prayed silently to the plump, grinning god. She knew that Perihan, Suda, Doki, and Rosethorn didn't pray to Hebe, but she didn't think the god would mind, and Briar always said he would take help from wherever he could get it. She wasn't sure about General Sebrugo's gods, but she included her as well. She'd heard Captain Rana's warriors say that soldiers could always use a friendly god's attention. Once she had finished praying to Hebe, Evie turned in the direction of the Sun Queen's husbands. She knew exactly where each mountain's peak rose behind the fort. Now, in the quiet of the room, with the cats settled on the bed without fuss, she even thought she could hear their voices. One of them especially had a kind and musical voice, a low, burring hum. She tried to copy it low in her chest, reaching for that magical sound. On and on she hummed, making a kind of prayer of it, a prayer to the Sun Queen's husbands to look after her friends.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
One of these days, I'm gonna give one of you a box, and you open the bottom drawer, and the embosser.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.